All right, I should be interviewing. So this is Jay Manners for the You Now and Then project on September 27th, 2019. I am Jane Manners, and I'm the interviewer. And then you get to say your name.
I am Liz Lempert, and I am the interviewee.
Perfect. Okay, so the You Now and Then Oral History Project is this effort to kind of reconstruct You Now's history from its founding to the present. And so we're interested in talking to people who had not necessarily a role at the founding, but who were kind of, you know, involved at You Now at some point in its past.
Right.
And we were interested in speaking with you about your experience as a parent and as a board member and anything else you care to talk about. So I have here some guiding questions that I may take notes if you say something that I want to keep note of or want to follow up on. But I thought it might make sense to start with the easy questions, like what brought you to Princeton?
Okay. My husband brought us to Princeton, so he's a professor at the university, and we moved here in 2002, July 4th weekend, and my youngest daughter at the time was about 6 months old.
And how many children do you have?
I have two. So my older daughter was turning 4 in a month. She has an August birthday, and we had a lot of conversations because birthdays are really big when you're 4, so it was really hard for her to leave her friends. So we ended up having a practice birthday when we were moving from Colorado. So we had our practice birthday in Colorado, and then when she came to Princeton, she had her real birthday with some of her new friends. So it all worked out.
Good.
And she lived to tell the tale. Yes,
yes. Yes. We moved right before my son turned 4 also. And luckily my parents live in Montclair, so we went to their house and had a birthday
party. Right, that's nice.
Yeah, the birthday parties can help you ease the transition.
Yeah, definitely.
So the next question on my prompt list is, what was Princeton like then? And I feel like asking the now mayor that question is very interesting. So what was Princeton like then?
Let's see. Well, we were moving from Boulder, Colorado, and I'm originally from California. So it was, I think my impressions were more just a little bit of culture shock. And some of it was, I think, just things that I had in my mind what I thought Princeton would be like, and then being really actually pleasantly surprised with a lot of what it turned out to be.
What? Can you elaborate?
Yeah. I mean, I was worried it was going to be sort of stuffier and more intimidating, and I was surprised with just how neighborly it was. I mean, it was definitely... Boulder was much more of had more of like a hippie type, especially for little kids, clothing optional. Everybody was called by their first name, doesn't matter how old you were. So that part was, you know, I was definitely in the mom mode. So
yeah.
A lot of it was, you know, what's this community like for kids versus where we were coming from. You know, I love the street that I live on. There were lots of kids. I loved just sort of the freedom with getting around too. So we had I don't know if they still make these, it's called a Burley.
Yeah.
So it was like the attachment on the back of the bike. So I used to, that's how we would get to You Now and You League, is like we'd start with the Burley and then we moved on to the tandem bike attachment.
Yep.
So it was great to be able to ride there. We're really lucky to live. I know this wasn't true when You Now started, but that there were a lot of options for daycare and for preschool too, which is great.
Were you looking for childcare before you arrived? Like, did you know we're going to need childcare?
Yeah, definitely. So, I'm trying to remember now. I mean, we were concentrating on my oldest daughter first. because I think we didn't send, I had a flexible schedule, and I can't remember, I think we didn't start my younger one at UNOW till she was one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But your older daughter started there right away.
She was at U League.
U League, okay.
Yes, we didn't need the full time, we just needed the part time.
Right.
And yeah, back then they were neighbors.
Right,
and
right.
Which
right.
was also, I think, like an interesting, early experience. My older daughter actually started at UNOW, and then she went to U League when she got older. And I think just being on different sides of the fence,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
the sort of grass is always greener.
Yeah.
And I think that it was an interesting social dynamic, especially when those kids were out on the playground at the same time,
right.
and you know, actually forming some friendships across the fence,
yeah,
and
yeah.
longing to go and play with this equipment. That
right, the much
sort
cooler
of,
climber on the
yeah,
other side.
Yeah, or vice versa. Right? yeah.
So your older daughter started at U League, your younger daughter started at UNOW, and then switched to U League.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And it was a large part just because I was working, I was able to move my job. I was working for, as a journalist, working for a radio program.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
It's called Living on Earth. It's
oh,
an
yeah.
NPR show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working remotely and had flexibility. So it was, you know, was more hours than I needed, mm-hmm. but you didn't start till the kids were older.
Right.
So... no, it was great. And what's fun is I was cleaning out my cabinet, we were looking at old photos, and my daughter, the one who is at UNOW, we were looking, and she was like blown away that these are the kids that she's in high school with now, and that
yeah.
she had this relationship with some of which I think she sort of remembers, with some of the kids where they lasted, and then others where it's just like, this crazy thing where you're looking at this photo and you recognize your classmate
right.
from when they were 2 years old,
right?
Which is cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Then that's really nice. That's really nice. And you've had the experience of being a UNOW parent and a U League parent. You really know that building on Broadmead very well.
I do. Yes. And it's like, it's really funky with the upstairs and the downstairs, and that you can tell that it has a building that had, probably many different phases
well,
to it.
Well, it used to be the Princeton Day School Elementary School.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Bob Mueller was a student in that very building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
I know. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the teachers in particular?
I do. So she was in, it was called A Class
yep.
at the time, so Alice
mm-hmm.
and Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember she was in with this boy, Gareth, who was John Conway's son,
okay.
who he's like a brilliant mathematician, and the son was, I mean, off the charts. And I remember going in, they had this toy where there were like little magnet pieces that most kids that age would like, the E for like the skill was just to like stick it and take it off, and he had put together like a fractal pattern.
Wow.
Remember Alex holding this thing, I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I mean, in Princeton there's always, you know, it's just an amazing group of kids as well as teachers. Yeah.
Right. Alice is my kid's teacher as well.
Yeah.
I think she officially retired last year,
okay.
I think. She's been around. And Rose as well, still there.
Yeah. No, it had, and you, I think when my kids were there, it also felt like they had been there forever,
mm-hmm.
too, which
yeah.
it makes it a really special place. You don't have a lot of people coming in and leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Teacher, yeah, that's like, they're like the three components of quality early childhood education. Mm-hmm. Teacher longevity and, paying your teachers well, and then they stay a long time, and then small ratios, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Do I remember you telling me you were on the board?
I was.
Was that your first experience with elected office?
Did I have to run for that board? I don't remember. I feel like it was not a cutthroat election if there were an election. But I'm trying to remember if that was the first board I had served on or if I had done something. It might have been the first board I served on in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't remember... I don't remember there being anything super contentious. I remember a couple of the board meetings, but I don't think we had any major projects come before us during that time, at least that I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
None that scarred me, yeah.
How many years were you on the board?
I think maybe just one. I think I was there because Ella was there in the one-year-old classroom, the A room and B room, and then she transferred to U League. So I think when she was in the B room, I was on the board. So just 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you would meet in that big room upstairs?
Yes.
At night?
Yes. And I think I was serving together with Anne, she's a lawyer, Stedholm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she was on the board at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, you sort of run into people in other guises, too,
yeah,
later in life, yeah.
And it was all parents?
It was all parents, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. There might have been a teacher.
Yeah, there definitely were teachers
teach on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the board is, yeah. It's very similar today. Now you're... Children are both in high school?
No, my older daughter is in college.
Oh, she is.
And
okay.
Then my younger daughter is a senior in high
school.
Oh,
my gosh.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And they went, you're in Littlebrook.
Littlebrook.
Right? Yeah,
Littlebrook JW High School. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you moved here and you had UNOW and U League, were you, so one of the questions on this forum is, did this kind of change, was it meaningful to your life? I mean, this is kind of harkening back to, like, the feminist roots of UNOW.
Yeah.
So I guess there are two questions. One is, was it kind of meaningful to you to have, like, did it open up opportunities for you? It sounds like it did a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's so important because you want to make sure that when it's so important that you feel like you're doing right by your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there were a lot of articles at the time. I'm sure there's ones now, too, but I was especially tuned into it when I was of that age of, you know, is it, what are the benefits of sending your kid to either daycare or preschool?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot to make sure that they know how to, like, get along in the world, even at a young age,
yeah,
right? And just knowing that they're at a place where, you know, they're able to make friends, they're in a place that's safe and loving, and with people who know what they're doing. I feel like the teachers also, I remember, like, being a resource for, like, as a new parent, too.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents are in California, so I didn't have, I didn't have my own parents.
Right,
I mean, it's definitely,
right,
like, when I had my kids, I realized, I think for the first time in my life, like, aside from when I was little, like, how much I wanted my parents.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for a while, like, once you become a teenager, you don't need your parents.
Right.
And as a young adult, you feel like you don't necessarily need them.
Right.
But, like, once you have your own kids, and so just serving in that role and having somebody who had sort of seen it all,
yeah,
too, was great. And then it was a large part of my social life, too, is,
yeah,
getting to meet the other parents and having families with kids the same age.
Yeah. Are you still in touch with families and friends that you met then?
Some, yeah. And it's, I mean, the thing with Princeton is that UNOW, there are a lot of university folks,
mm-hmm,
and most of the people that age are not necessarily tenured, so,
mm-hmm,
We have a lot of friends who didn't stay, which is sad.
Yeah.
But it's also such a really intense period of your life. And
right.
So, you know, most of the people we still keep up with. And
And did you, so I guess I've got two more questions. One, and both about this kind of you now's feminist origins. So the first question is, were you, did you have any sense of what you now's kind of backstory was? And then secondarily, if you had to kind of characterize or describe its pedagogy or its kind of approach to early childhood education, how would you do that?
Well, I think like the name is pretty unusual, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely had heard of now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was pretty cool that it had this connection to now, or at least like was paying homage to now.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I feel like people our age, it's just like we're lucky to be living
right.
in the time we're living as women, because you know, especially if you know, it's like if you're not financially insecure, it's like you have a lot of choices.
Right.
And I mean, sometimes the choices can be challenging because you're making a choice and then there's can be guilt related to that
right.
choice.
Right.
But to have choice is great, and to have a place that I think understands that, and it felt like it was there to serve both the kids and the parents in a way, which was really, I think, important for families.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I remember reading, I don't know if I remember the full story, but in terms of the origins, like, I do remember how important it was for, I think it was, like, started by a group of women, and I'm not sure if they were professors themselves or somehow connected with the university.
There were some,
some
academics and some administrators at the university, together with representatives of the local NOW chapter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, no, it's essential. It's like you can't, you know, I had tried to, I was working from home, so, you know, there were times where I tried to work and have my kids there, and you can't do both.
Right.
It's just impossible.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was important for that, and just to have somebody knowledgeable watching them, and, you know, I found, too, it's like my younger daughter was a really picky eater, and it just even knowing that she was going to sit there. And, of course, like, she ate like crazy at school.
Right.
And, you know, they all sit there and they eat, and you come in and you're like, how do they get her to eat? And she comes home and I can't get her to eat.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or how do they make this work? And, you know, just having the peace of mind that she was at least eating something.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm very thankful of the people who had the foresight and were able to create this institution that lasts and helps so many generations after them.
Yeah. No, me too. Did you have a sense of that history in the kind of continuing on in the school while you were there? So part of, you know, formative philosophy was kind of to teach non-sex stereotyping to, you know, or non-sexist stereotypes or something to the children. Like, it had a very kind of feminist curriculum. Having male teachers early on was important to them.
Right.
Did you, was any of that kind of in the ether when you were a parent there?
I guess so. I mean, it was just a place we felt really comfortable at, and I think we just sort of try to naturally parent that way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the toys they had in the classroom, I think, were more open-ended,
mm-hmm.
which tend to be the better toys
right.
anyways.
Right.
neither of my kids, my younger daughter a little bit more, but neither of them were super into dollies anyway.
Yeah.
And so it was nice for them to be in an environment where they could easily play with whatever they wanted to play with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's even more important now, too. I think as we have a better understanding of just you want to tap into what, you know, what children want to be able to explore and learn about themselves mm-hmm. and how they want to engage in the world. And you don't want to close things off and put them in a box.
Right. Right. Yes, absolutely. And it's hard to kind of fight the external influences, right? The kind of like, you go into Target and everything's pink or blue, and it's hard
right.
to kind of navigate that.
Well, and I don't know if you have sons or daughters, but it's like the toys for boys are always more interesting, it mm-hmm. seems like. And
yeah.
so, especially as the parent of girls, you know, and also I'm lucky my husband, like, was really involved dad and like really loved playing with them when they were little but also wants to play with stuff that he finds fun
mm-hmm.
so it's like
yeah.
he'd much rather play with blocks
yeah.
and have something that's more creative and open-ended
yes. No, I have two boys and a girl, so it's interesting to see the ways that they...
Yeah, well, and that was the family I grew up in, so mm-hmm. I was the youngest, mm-hmm. and I had two older brothers, and most of my toys were hand-me-downs
right.
from them, so I had the benefit growing up of,
right.
and my friends would love coming over to my house, because I had, like, the cool Hot Wheels and
right.
the tracks and the all these things that they didn't have, because... they were girls, and they
right.
didn't have brothers, right?
Right,
yeah.
right, right. Exactly, yes. Yeah, it was very interesting. Parenting a girl and parenting a boy are very different different things.
Yeah. And I feel like when my kids were little, it was almost... I think it started with giving more opportunity to girls,
mm-hmm.
actually. And it seems like things are opening up for
mm-hmm.
boys now, too. But I think it still used to be sort of shut off for boys.
Right.
And open for girls. And now it feels like it's more open for everybody, which is good.
I think so. Little by little.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of, yeah. Boys can be preschool teachers. It's not just that every girl has to grow up to be a lawyer or a CEO. Boys can also take on the nursing
right.
profession.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. I think we've canvassed the sheet here.
Okay.
Yeah, and then if you think of anything else that you can't wait to get on, add to this project, by all means, be in touch.
Okay.
But I think I will give the concluding line, which is thank you for your time. This is the end of the interview.
Okay, excellent. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. I think I did this right.